Take your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Definitely be in prayer for that work in Poplar Bluff. I'm very excited about that. You can call it a soft opening, but he's not going to preach a soft gospel today, I'll tell you that. I mean, that is not going to be the case. Colossians chapter 2, this is week 11 on our creation series, and today we're going to talk about the age of the earth. And trust me, I could bore you with isotopes and decay and carbon-14 and carbon-12 and all this stuff, but I've chosen radiometric dating. It's all available on the internet for you guys to read if you want to. We're going to have a whole lesson on the age of the earth, and I'm going to not bring any science into it. I'll tell you that right now. The Word of God is that good. But I want you to just to know, my wife says, you sometimes talk fast. Sometimes I get nervous. You stand up here. But we're in Colossians chapter 2, and let's just read one verse. I tell you, I knew coming into today that the teens were going to be in here, your teachers enjoying some time away, and I knew that my class is on the other end of the age spectrum, and so, you know, I wanted to come up with a lesson that everyone will understand. And let me just tell you this, Colossians chapter 2, young people, is something you need to have in your heart, with all the other verses of the Word of God. But verse number 8 will really help you as you enter school, the workplace, you start rubbing shoulders with your peers that don't go to church, you learn verse number 8. Verse number 8 of Colossians chapter 2 says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And I'm telling you, there's not a better verse to talk about and capture the understanding of the world today when they're viewing the age of the earth. You know, they say, and you've heard this, science has proved that the earth is 4.5 billion years old. I mean, we have heard this claim. In my job, reading reports about a construction site before we get there, they do a geological report, and they claim that. They claim that in every publication that the earth is around 4.5 billion years old. And we're told that scientists use this technique called radiometric dating to measure. Now, these are key words, what I'm saying here. Measure the age of rocks. Radiometric dating, carbon-14 dating, all very common terms. Again, you can read on your own the flaws of those, and we'll talk a little bit about that without getting sciencey. But we're also told that this method is very reliable and consistently yields millions and billions of years in their results, thereby establishing beyond question that our Earth is immensely old. That's what scientists tell us. And that concept, some people called that the old age concept. Actually, science today has adopted the phrase deep time. So if you're doing any reading, that's what they call it now, the age of the earth. If it's billions of years old, that's the deep time theory. Now, this obviously contradicts the biblical account and the biblical record in which we read where God created in 6 literal days, and we've already talked about what a day is in previous lessons, that Adam was made on the 6th day. We've already looked at that. And from the listed genealogies, the creation of the universe is about 6,000 years old. And we'll go into that, and I'll show you where you can learn that from the Word of God today. So has science, here's the question, has science therefore disproved the Bible? And preacher kind of even mentioned that Wednesday night. When he talked about it, every time a scientist would say this, they'd come out with results and say, oh, the Bible was true after all. Preacher mentioned that Wednesday night. But has science disproved the Bible? Is radiometric or carbon-14 dating a reliable method for estimating the age of something? And let me ask one more question that we're going to look at this morning. How does this method attempt to estimate age in the first place? How do we do that? Now, let's ask the first question. Can science measure age? You know, people often have grave misconceptions about radiometric dating, carbon-14 dating. They hear these terms, and they don't understand the analytical methods, but can science measure age? Well, first, you know, they tend to think that scientists can measure age. I don't know about you, but age is not a substance that can be measured by scientific equipment. Have you ever gone to the doctor? You know what they do? They ask you your age. They don't do a test to tell you your age. I know a family, and they adopted a little one from the Congo. And when they adopted that little one, they said, "We don't know their age. We think because of these characteristics that this young person is 5 or 6. Come to find out, she was actually closer to 14. And we have tells in our bodies that can show that stuff. But you can go to the doctor and your mass can be measured. Your volume can be measured. You can take rocks and the mass can be measured. The volume can be measured. Pressure can be measured. Force can be measured. Weight can be measured. Composition can be measured. But there is no, now get this, there is no scientific measurement for age, period. There is, they tell you, well, because of this test, this tells you that there is no measurement for age. The former quantities of mass and volume, those are called physical properties. I mean, this is science, fifth grade science. Those are physical properties. What something weighs, how much mass it is, the volume it contains, those are physical properties. They're indisputable. You can measure them. Again, the doctor asks you your age. The doctor asks Gary his age. Gary tells him, and he's like, no, I know what you do. No, you're not that old. But Gary says, yes, I am. You can't run a test to prove it. It doesn't work like that. That's right. Age is not a physical property. I want you to understand that. It's conceptual. Age is not physical. Age is conceptual. Age is the concept of the amount of time an object has existed. That's a concept. If you want to do a mathematical equation for age, it is the present time minus the time in which the object came into existence. That's age. You can figure age, but you can't measure age. There's no test for age. The only way that this is known scientifically is if a person was there and observed the time of existence. If you were not there to observe the time of existence, then you don't know how old something is. I can tell you without a doubt how old my children are because I was there when they came into existence. Now, I can only take Gary's word for it because I wasn't there when Gary came into existence. None of us were. That's right. Absolutely not. It's true. Now, this may seem like a trivial, obvious point, but this is very important. You cannot measure the amount of time contained in something as if age were a substance that accumulates over time. You cannot do that. There is no test for that. Instead, it would be far more accurate to say that scientists attempt to estimate, right? They estimate the age of something. And thus, age is assigned to rocks and formations on the basis of radiometric dating or carbon-14 dating are not measurements, but rather they are estimates. Now, why is that important? Now, this is an important distinction between an estimate and a measurement, okay? A measurement is direct. It's objective. It's repeatable. I mean, do you have a scale? You have a scale? You're like, ooh. That was direct. It's repeatable. Measure again. That's a measurement. That's not an estimate. It's relatively independent of starting assumptions. My assumption is, oh, not that. But it doesn't matter what my assumptions are in a measurement.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what I believe in a measurement. It doesn't matter how I feel in a measurement. That's direct. That's objective. You can't argue with a measurement. Now, an estimate, on the other hand, is indirect, and an estimate is highly dependent on the starting assumptions. That's what an estimate is. And trust me, we all have assumptions about everything. So you got to keep that in mind. And sometimes deep time advocates ignore the important distinction between measurement and estimate. In fact, they say the earth is, as it's this a direct objective statement. And that's not true at all. Of course, there is nothing wrong at all, though, with attempting to estimate the age of something. People attempt to do that with trees. Oh, what about the tree rings? Okay, well, not every year does a tree, that's a common misconception, but a tree doesn't form a ring every year. Sometimes there's two rings, depending on the amount of rainfall. Sometimes there's no rings. So you can't rely that. Well, and then some farmers, every time I teach a lesson, Brother Stever comes up and he says, well, on the farm, I'm like, yeah, I get it. Well, on the farm, you just look in a heifer's mouth and count her teeth. Okay, well, they don't have a dental plan, so sometimes their teeth get knocked out, and sometimes their teeth get missing, and sometimes their teeth decay. So that's not a very scientific way either. So it's okay to estimate ages of things. That's okay. I'm not saying that you should never estimate the age of something. That's not what I'm saying. But applying that to the age of the earth, that's where the fallacy is. We simply need to remember that such estimates are not nearly as direct or objective as a measurement of something like mass or length. Okay? They're estimates. They're not repeatable. And as we will find today, age estimates are highly dependent on starting assumptions. So the first question, can you measure age? The answer is no. There's no test for age in anything. Second question, how do you estimate age? Well, how do scientists estimate age? Well, since age cannot be measured, how is it estimated? That's the second question. This is done by measuring what's called a proxy. So let's measure something else, and then let's apply age to that, a proxy, to perform the calculation. In science, if you're not sure what a proxy is something that substitutes for something else, and it correlates with it. As an example, age is not a substance that accumulates over time. Okay, and we understand. Age is not a substance that accumulates over time. But dust is. Dust accumulates over time. So for this example today, let's think about dust. Okay, because age doesn't accumulate over time, dust does. The amount of dust that we measure can serve as a proxy for the amount of time. And let's say this. Let's picture a room. We have a room, and we want to know the age of the room. Well, we see dust. We can measure the dust, and maybe by measuring the dust, we could know how old the room is. Or put it this way, the last time the room was cleaned. Let's do that, since we have teenagers here. So we don't know when the last time you cleaned your room is, because time and age are conceptual, and they're not these tests that we can run. We can't run a test, but we can measure dust. Dust would be a proxy. So just keep this in your mind. So age cannot be measured. The depth of dust, that's what we're going to measure. And the estimated age is then computed based on the measurement of dust. Is everyone with me? That's the little practice we're going to do. But this is where I want you to understand, this is where scientists fail. We have to come up with some assumptions. Now again, if the assumptions are wrong, the calculation is going to be wrong. Okay, so we have to come up with some assumptions in order for this estimate to work. Assumption number one, we have to assume what the initial condition is. If you weren't there the last time the room was cleaned, you just have to assume that the last time the room was cleaned, all the dust was removed because you weren't there. So you weren't there when something was created. You have to come up with assumptions of what that condition was, okay? Because nobody was there. So they have to have an initial assumption. So these are assumptions about the state of the system when it first started. That's what we have to understand. So in this case of estimating the time since the room was cleaned again, we're going to say the room had zero dust at the time it was last cleaned, okay? That's our first assumption. Then all the dust we measure now accumulated since the room was last cleaned, has accumulated since the room was last cleaned because of that one assumption. So the first assumption the scientists have to make is the initial condition. The second assumption the scientists have to make is called the rate of change. Now, we can only see the rate of change now, and we have to assume that rate of change was always like that. So I go into the room. They said, I cleaned my room. I wasn't there when you cleaned your room, but I cleaned my room. I see dust now, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to measure how much dust I see now. Just measure it around the windowsill. I'm going to come back a week later. I'm going to see how much dust there is, and I'm going to say, ah, there's 1 millimeter of dust in the last week. That's how much has changed. Now, so scientists have to assume, I wasn't there during the initial condition, but I have to assume that that rate of change is constant. Do you see some flaws in this, you Bible believers? We're not even talking science, we're talking dust in a room. So I go in and I say, okay, the rate of change is constant. You have got 1 millimeter of dust that's accumulated, so that's 1 millimeter per week. We must make the assumption that that is the rate at which dust has accumulated in the past in your room. Perhaps dust always accumulated at the same rate as it does today. It is difficult to know for certain, and so this remains an assumption. Okay, so I wasn't there at the initial condition. I have to assume the rate of change. The third thing I have to do as a scientist to estimate the last time you cleaned your room, I have to assume something about what's called the closedness of the system. Now, we understand closed. We're independent Baptists. We know what the word closed means. So, or we should. And so, the closedness of the system. Well, in your room, here's what I have to assume. I have to assume you didn't turn your ceiling fan on and redistribute the dust. I have to assume that your mother didn't come in after you cleaned the room. I have to assume that you cleaned the room and then you walked out, you shut the door, dust accumulated at 1 millimeter per week, and the system was closed and there was no other influences into the system. I either assume that or I don't. As a scientist, I have to pick. They all pick the system's closed. They all pick the initial condition, they all pick the rate of change, and they all pick that the system is closed. No ceiling fans came on, no nothing else came on, no one came into the room, you didn't spin things around. What it is what it's always been. I have to assume these things. Now, so those are the three things that you have to assume if you're a scientist and you're attempting to estimate the age of something. And just about anything whose origin was not observed is estimated just like this. We're using the room just because of the people in this room. That's why we're using the dust in the room. But here's what we have to understand. Suppose the room has 5 millimeters of dust in it. Okay, I said there was no science and there's no test. But how many weeks has it been since you cleaned your room? 5 weeks. And you said your preacher wasn't smart. He's paying attention. If there's five millimeters of dust, it accumulates at 1 millimeter a week. That means you cleaned your room 5 weeks ago, period. That's what it is. No dispute. I'm going to keep repeating it louder and louder and louder until you also agree with me. It was 5 weeks ago, no matter what. And everyone's going to repeat it. And everyone's going to write about it. And everyone's going to sing about it. And everyone's going to produce it in TV and movies. And you're going to be bombarded with that. Regardless of the truth. Regardless of any other sources of information. Because the initial condition, the rate of change, and the closeness we agreed on. What's your problem, you Luddite? Look that up if you don't know what that means. It's not as ugly as it sounds. That's what scientists do. If dust accumulated again at 1 millimeter per week and always has, if no one has disturbed the room, if the room started with zero dust at the time of cleaning, we can reasonably, come on, what's your problem? I don't understand. Is reasonably estimate the time since the last cleaning was 5 weeks. Our estimate, though, will always be as good as our assumptions. Always. Will always be as good as it. If any of the assumptions are wrong, so will the estimate of age be. The problem with the scientific attempt to estimate age is that it is rarely possible to know with certainty that our starting assumptions are right. That's the problem. They're not right with their starting assumptions. So we all know that many scientists claim to have nearly infallible methods for determining age of the earth. Again, the doctor asks you your age. You cannot measure it. So they are estimating, based on these assumptions, the age of the earth. We understand this. All of these methods are built on two basic and unproven assumptions. Again, the assumption of the starting point or the original condition, or three assumptions, the assumptions of the original condition, the assumption that the rate of change is uniform and that the system is closed. Let me give you another example. It's the holidays. Maybe you like It's a Wonderful Life. You know, and It's a Wonderful Life, there's the abandoned house. If you don't know what I'm talking about, think of an abandoned house. Okay? But let's say inside the abandoned house, there's a candle burning. How long has the house been abandoned? How long has the candle been burning? Well, we go in. Let's go in. And we watch, and the candle burns 1 inch per hour. So what? If you don't know how tall the candle was when it started, you have to assume. Well, all candles are 14 inches. That's what it was in my wedding. It was 14 inches. I remember because it was windy and we tried to light it and it was a silly little ceremony. And no, you're using assumptions to figure out. If you don't know how tall the candle was when it started and you just know the rate of change that you're currently observing now and you're applying that. So here's the question. How long has it been burning? And how long ago was the house abandoned? If you weren't there, you don't know. Period. No one can know until it can be shown how, again, how tall the candle is. So here's a question. How old is the earth? No one can know unless it is shown what it was like when it began and how rapidly it has changed since then. There's no measurement for age. Do not fall for this. There is no measurement for age. And trust me, rates of change, you start getting into the early chapters of Genesis, you understand the rates of change have not always been the same. Do you need to get your head around, and we'll talk about this in coming lessons, about the conditions of the earth pre-flood versus post-flood, and how carbon 14 is based on decay and the rate of decay. I hope you understand there was, A, was no decay until sin, and B, the rate of decay has drastically changed since the flood because the environment has changed. And we need to understand these things. Are any of those assumptions applied to their little tests? No, not at all. Not at all. And let me just tell you this. There is a lot of examples of inaccuracies in their tests. Here's three easy ones that have happened in most of your lifetimes. But they've taken a sample from the lava dome at Mount St. Helens. And Mount St. Helens erupted in 1986. They took an example of that, a blind test. And they said, run the test on that. I have the number. They came up, they calculated. This rock was formed 350,000 years ago. And this happened in 1996. And they said, no, it was 10 years ago. What were your assumptions? Your assumptions were wrong. And not only that, there's another lava flow in New Zealand, and it's 50 years old. They know. There were people that were witnesses of the event. It was recorded. Oh, remember those words. The event was recorded by witnesses. They know the age. They do a blind test. They say, what is the radiometric calculation of the age? And they don't say, well, we can't measure. We can only estimate. They say, well, let me do it. 3.5 million years old is what they came up with. They're like, no, this was from New Zealand. You know, I was just at the Grand Canyon last week, and the same thing happened there. They've taken these flows of lava at the top of the Grand Canyon. They were tested using three different methods. They used the radiometric method, a carbon 14 method, and then another scientist German method that no one who cares what it's called, you wouldn't know anyways. And so they came up with three different answers, the same rocks. Well, it was 916 million years old. Well, another guy came up with 1.143 billion years old. Same rock, third method, 2.6 billion years old. Boy, talk about the faith you have to have. For an inconsistent method that estimates something. For centuries, Christians have believed that God created the world in six literal days, 4,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. And that he judged the world by destroying it in the flood in Noah's day. For centuries, it was unquestionable. Well, they were ignorant. Really? No. Think about all the things that have happened in technology during those centuries. The world wasn't full of ignorance. Just because they didn't have Google. It's only been the last 250 years where Christians, and this is sad, where Christians and non-Christians started to question about the Bible's record of time. Only about the last 250 years. Why is that? Because Christians and non-Christians have been swayed by the words of men and began to try to fit billions of years. Listen, we've talked about this. You know, what, there's fossil record. First of all, if you get your history from fossils, that's like getting your literature from the clouds. What do you think that? Well, that looks like a circus car with a bunch of clowns in it. Oh, now the wind changed. Now it's this. You realize fossils, you could have a predator and a prey die at the same times. Their bones decompose at the same time. And there's or herds of animals, right? And they try to put these together. There are countless of archaeologists and scientists who say to get your science from the fossil record is absolutely foolish. There's atheist archaeologists that say this. It's not just a Christian archaeologist stance. No, the fossil record is wrong. But here there are fossils of dinosaurs that have cancer in their bones. That right there, just that one fact, blows the gap theory out of the water. Because when God made animals, he said that's good. When God made man, he said that was good. At the seventh day, God said that it was good. Everything was good. You know what's not good? Cancer. So it wasn't that the dinosaurs came and went, and then man came, and things can still be good. They can't. And we learned about that last week. So we have to understand these things. That Christians are trying to fit billions of years into the biblical account because of the pressures and the message that's going on. And I've talked about how the message is delivered in weeks past. I've talked about the fact that if you just keep repeating it. And I talked about the Darwinian errors and their ways that they are sending the message out. But this anti-biblical philosophical assumptions that were used to interpret rocks and fossils through the door wide open in doubting and manipulating and questioning God's word. And that's why we started with Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. But even before the technology of the radiometric measurements and even before carbon dating was available, the shift in belief from young earth to old earth or deep time theories that were invented by man, they were going on. Even before the science, the people were casting doubt. And is anyone surprised with that? Every page has doubt casted on it. Every page in your Bible has doubt casted on it. If you are unable to take the book of Genesis, which includes God's detailed genealogical account as documented history, if you're unable to believe that, then how in the world do you believe anything else in the Bible? You have to believe it from cover to cover. God's word unmistakably teaches a young earth and young universe. Amen. Without question. God has ensured the accurate recording and preservation of his eyewitness account of the earth's history, which Jesus Christ endorsed multiple times in the New Testament. And we've looked at that every week. Something that Jesus has repeated during his earthly ministry relating to creation. And we must have confidence to what God has revealed to us in his word and not allow man's ideas to cause us to reinterpret it or to compromise it in some way. We cannot dare presume to know more than the Creator God.
Amen.
We can't even dabble
no. In
that. Go, you're in Colossians. Go to Genesis chapter 5. I just want to show you, again, I encourage you, if you want to read more on this, several resources available on the flaws of the methods to determine age. In Genesis chapter 5, we see the heading might say Adam's descendants and then Seth's descendants. I'm not going to read those, but I want you just to take your eye and kind of scan through those verses, and you will see, if you're not familiar with this, you will see lots of years and dates, and yeah, some of them are hundreds of years. Okay. We can talk about that later in another lesson on why people lived longer, but like I've already said, the conditions of the atmosphere and everything was different pre-flood.
Amen.
It was different. That answers so much. But as you look through Genesis chapter 5, it just keeps giving years and all that stuff. And I'll save you from math. But what you find is from Adam, and then it ends there in verse number 32, Noah. From Adam and Noah, 1,056 years. I did the math for you. Go to Genesis chapter 11. And by the way, let me just say this. If you went back to Genesis chapter 5 and wanted to do the math, that'd be awesome. But I would encourage you also to go to Genesis chapter 4. We know, horrible chapter. But the very last part of Genesis chapter 4 talks about some of Cain's descendants. Like Tubal-Cain was one, and he was an artificer and instructor of brass. These aren't ignorant cavemen. We can talk about that later. But the animal husbandry and the plant, the way that they were cultivating, and the things that they knew about brass. And I honestly believe this, the Bible doesn't say, but I believe they had access to elements that we don't even know about that have been buried since the flood. But I think that there were metals and different things that they could use. They were not ignorant cavemen, all right? Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. The Bible says in chapter 4 they were dealing with brass. There's no gap. Well, it took billions. No. So go back and read that also. But now we're in Genesis chapter 11. We've looked at the Tower of Babel. Look down at verse number 10. Do the same exercise. Take your eyes, scan what we see here, and we see the same thing. We see years. We see years. And what you see is, same thing, if you look halfway through, towards the bottom, what we see is it goes from Noah to Abraham. Okay? So we just looked at Adam to Noah. Now we're looking at Noah to Abraham. Noah to Abraham right here is 952 years. Okay? So quick math. You take the 952 years in Genesis chapter 11, add it to Genesis chapter 5, 1,056. And you come up with about 2,000. 2,000 years. So from Adam to Abraham is 2,000 years. Okay. We all know, because we have iPhones, that it's year 2022. And we know that the world, like it or not, has accepted that that's about the time of Jesus' birth where the, you know, tracking of years kind of changed to the truth. And so we know that from Jesus to me is about 2,000 years. Now we also know in Scripture, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to show you, but we also know in Scripture from Abraham, which is where we left off in Genesis chapter 11, to Jesus Christ is about 2,000 years. So we have 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. We have 2,000, about, years from Abraham to Jesus. And we have 2,022 years from Jesus to me. When a Christian stands up here and says the earth is about 6,000 years old, that's where we get that. From the Word of God. From the Word of God. Which we have put all our faith into. undeniable. It is true. It is accurate. If it was anything else, most of us wouldn't be here today. Not like wouldn't be here. Like you would not put your time in to being here right now. So the answer to the Earth's age is not 4.5 billion years, we think, and it's all on these estimate assumptions. It's not that. I've said it before, I'm going to say it. The doctor asks you your age. They can't measure it. The Bible tells us. The Bible tells us. You know, when we consider the age of the earth, everyone looks at the same evidence and interprets it based on different starting assumptions. There's not a secret lab that only does earth aging. Everyone has, it'd be a cool movie, everyone has the same evidence. Okay, I want you to understand that. By looking to the Bible and the genealogies, again, we arrive at about 6,000 years. By starting from assumptions of radiometric dating, Big Bang cosmology, we arrive that it's 4.5 billion years old. And then that's just the Earth. Fun fact, the universe is 13.7 billion years old. That's what they say. That's what they arrive at on their starting assumptions. Ultimately, I want you to, I'm done. Two sentences left. This is not a battle between science and the Bible.
Right.
It's one of starting points and authority. That's what this comes down to. That's what this comes down to. If God's word is the authority, then we must reject all ideas of millions and billions of years old. Four words. In the beginning, God. Let's get ready for Big People Church.